Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. For this Tuesday morning, Speaker Nancy Pelosi says she's confident she'll be able to get the votes needed to pass health care legislation in the House, even if it threatens the political careers of some members of her party. On this week, on Sunday, she said that she is working on changes to a Senate-passed bill that would make it acceptable to the House. One of our favorite health care analysts is with us the first hour of our program today, Professor Helen Halpin. She's from University of California, Berkeley, and we love her because she reads the thousands of pages that are in all the bills that have been proposed. She'll be with us in a moment to talk about what now when it comes to health care. I'm Kathleen Dunn. Joining me in the studio is Rhonda Fanning, wonderful producer of this program. We're asking also today if you've noticed how much you rely on Wisconsin Public Radio's Ideas Network for enlightening, informative discussions. We really have been on top of the healthcare issue, as you well know. We're here now to remind you that WPR relies on you to keep programs like this one on the air. It is our winter membership drive. A gift of any amount will make a big difference in our ability to pay for the programming that you count on. Please make a gift now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Hey, Rhonda.
Hi, Kathleen. I have some exciting news this
hour.
All right. We have a dollar-for-dollar match right now up to $2,500. This generous challenge is offered by Bill Vanderson and Christina Gerke of New York.
New York?
Yes, that's
wow.
Right. And it's their way of encouraging you to join them in supporting public radio today. Your pledge right now will be doubled.
Mm.
So double your buying power right now. Give now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
Those don't happen very often, so it's an important hour, up to $2,500. That's great. So we ask you to pledge now. In a moment, we will be speaking with Helen Halpin from the Public Health School at University of California, Berkeley. She is a wonderful analyst about health care. We've had her on many times over the course of the past year as this important issue has been discussed in Washington and at town hall meetings and all over the country. Discussions like this one on the Ideas Network possible because of your financial support. And we must add that discussions like this really only take place at places like, and there aren't very many, they take place here at Wisconsin Public Radio. So please give now, WPR.org. You can use that website or 888-202-2552.
That's right. And we not only have covered health care reform in this country, the House versus Senate bills, which our guest coming up, Helen Halpin, has read both of them. We've also looked at other countries. We looked at health care systems in Canada, in Finland, in France, in Italy. And again, this hour is so important if you enjoy this type of programming and it's become informative and something that you count on, that we have that dollar for dollar match up to $2,500. So you can double your pledge this hour only, up to $2,500. And that is a generous challenge offered by Bill Vanderson and Christina Gerke of New York.
Giving is very simple. You can give online at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. All we need is your name, contact information, the amount of your pledge, and how you would like to pay for it.
You can use a credit card if you can. It saves time and money. And don't worry, we don't share any of your personal information with any other organization. So please give now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
How much do you learn about current events because of WPR? I would imagine the answer is you learn a lot. We have a variety of viewpoints from the experts. We have covered healthcare, I think, like nobody else. We had a healthcare forum. Rhonda mentioned all the countries that we've examined. You hear many different viewpoints. And listeners, we have so many guests say just the best listeners of any of the interviews, the radio stations they've been on. You get compliments all the time, and you bring a unique perspective to the conversation. If you hear yourself saying, yesterday on WPR, I heard that, that means it's time to make a pledge. Do that at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And again, that dollar for dollar match up to $2,500 in effect right now. It's a great time to call because for every dollar you give, Bill Vanderson and Christine Gerke of New York will donate an additional dollar. It's their way of encouraging you to support this program. So please double your buying power now. Your pledge by giving WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And the goal is we'd like to get 25 callers during the course of this hour. We really want to get $2,500 so we get that extra $2,500. We're at $200 right now. Please give now. Help us reach that goal. Thank us for all of the healthcare programming that we've given to you. WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And we also want to tell you, I think this is a terrific idea. When you pledge $120 or more, you can choose Food for 40 as your thank you gift. And this thank you gift will provide 40 meals to those who are facing hunger in your area. Pledge now. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Thank you, Kathleen, and thanks to everyone
thanks,
who's already
Rhonda.
Pledged.
Yeah, and please pledge this hour. That is a wonderful thing for our listeners from New York to offer us $2,500. We need to reach that this hour so we can take advantage of their very kind generosity. Well, here we go with healthcare. How many shows have we done on healthcare the past year? Quite a few. And one of our favorite guests is Dr. Helen Halpin. She is on the faculty at the School of Public Health at the University of California, Berkeley. She has read so much about all of the healthcare proposals that have been on the table. She was an advisor to President Obama during his campaign on healthcare issues. She is really a proponent of a public option, but that is no longer on the table. She is kept up to date with all of the proposals that have been put forward on the table, and I'm sure that she paid extremely close attention to the healthcare summit that took place last week. What will happen now? In terms of gathering votes necessary in the House to pass healthcare legislation, what will be the nature of that legislation? Are there House Democrats who are in real fear of losing their seats in November if they support healthcare reform? Is this a vote that will take courage? And what about these polls? What are Americans saying in terms of what they want when it comes to healthcare reform? We're very happy to have Helen with us again. Hello, Helen. Thanks so much for being with us.
Good morning, Kathleen.
We've been talking about this for so long.
I know, it seems endless.
It does seem endless, and here we go again. I would imagine that you were pretty glued to the reform summit that took place last week.
I watched every minute of
it. Every minute, I love you. What did you think?
Well, I thought it was pretty interesting. I think the president looked sincere and earnest in his efforts to try to get the Republicans to agree with him on some things that proved to be very difficult. And it was almost laughable that the Democrats kept saying, "We're so close, we're so close."
Right.
That was sort of their line. And the Republicans kept saying, "We're so far."
Right.
So it was interesting, I think, that they actually did find some agreement on some regulatory issues. I think the president's willing to perhaps do something on malpractice reform. And interestingly, a number of the things that they said they wanted are already in the bill. So you wonder, you know, how many of them have actually read the bill or understand what's in the bill. I thought there were some very interesting exchanges. But I thought, on the whole, the president did a great job of directing the discussion, making sure everyone had the opportunity to say what they had to say. And I was really impressed with Nancy Pelosi at the end when she challenged some of the misstatements that had been made during the meeting to try to set the record straight and really made a strong case for really giving the equivalent of civil rights to people who have pre-existing conditions. Throughout the conference, the Democrats were labeling the Republicans' unwillingness to protect those people as an act of segregation, and she even said, you know, there should be a right not to be discriminated against based on your pre-existing conditions. So that's a huge step forward. I thought the president also did a good job summarizing the meeting, but it became really clear that the Republicans don't like this bill and are not very interested in working to make this bill into something that they could support. And so the bottom line, I think, is that the Democrats understood that they just need to move forward without them.
What is the truth when it comes to polls about health care, Helen? The Republicans were saying that this is something really the American people don't want. They've said that you can't ram it down their throats because they have no interest in this bill.
Well, as the president pointed out during the summit, if you ask Americans about each of the individual provisions that are in the bill, they support them. When you ask them about the bill in its entirety, a large percentage of them do not. I'm actually participating in designing a new poll here in California to try to get to the bottom of this, because my sense is that when you talk about the bill as a whole, people really don't understand what it is. It seems big. The Republicans have been very effective in their messaging. You know, this is a 2,000-page bill. It's, you know, government takeover, and they're so effective at being negative that I think a lot of people now are kind of scared because they really don't know what's in it. They're certainly not going to read it, and they're worried about the deficit. Mm-hmm. And that was another interesting point. The Republicans kept saying that, you know, it needed to bring down costs, and the Democrats kept pointing out that the Congressional Budget Office has scored this as saving over $100 billion from the deficit. And so that was the frustrating thing for me, is that the things they were asking for are things that the bill already accomplishes. I think the American people are scared. I think they're very worried about jobs first. But I still believed, if you look at polls, they overwhelmingly think the healthcare system is broken. They want it to be fixed. And I think, honestly, a lot of this is just a complete... I think the Obama administration and the Democratic Party has done a lousy job explaining to the American people what's in this bill and what it will do for them, and how it will help the economy. And I do not understand why they dropped the ball on this and let the Republicans get out in front on the messaging. So that's my sense, is that they just really don't understand what's in the bill.
Well, then they really are going to have to step up to the plate and explain to the American public what's in this bill. And we seem to be a society that's taking our information in a little bit, little bits and pieces. We're not going to be like you and read the whole bill.
No.
So maybe they just need to really give it to everybody right now. Here's what's in the bill. Here's what it will do for you.
Well, President Obama did put up on the web at whitehouse.gov an 11-page summary of the bill with the changes that he was suggesting. So most Americans, I think, probably might be willing to read 11 pages.
Right.
So I think that's one place for people to go to get a quick summary of what's in the bill. That is moot, though, at the moment, although I think what comes out will be very similar. Nancy Pelosi is working hard to try to craft some changes in the bill that will make it more palatable to her members. At this point, I think she needs to get 216 votes, and it appears that there probably are 216, although it would be really nice if they could persuade the 39 Democrats who voted no, a few of them, to vote yes, because there probably are going to be some defections on the yes votes to no. Because of, as you mentioned in your introduction, the fear of not being reelected in the midterms.
And is that a real fear? Will there be House Democrats who will lose their seats if they support health reform?
You know, it's hard to imagine. There may be House Republicans that lose their seats, but my guess is that it won't be because they voted for health care reform. It'll probably be because the economy is so bad. But, you know, I think it's possible that a Republican opponent, they've made clear that they'll make this an issue in the midterm elections, and they will, because they'll use this rhetoric that this person voted for this huge bill, that's a government takeover of health care. Of course, there's nothing government takeover really about it. It basically extends the current system. It expands Medicaid. It improves Medicare. And it provides incentives for employers to cover their employees, although it doesn't require them to, and then it has an exchange for people who don't have employer coverage and aren't eligible for government programs with very generous subsidies. I mean, that's one of the things that Obama changed in his proposal, is to make the amount of the subsidy to individuals who are in the exchange with incomes below 400% of the poverty much higher than they were in the Senate bill originally, so it really will be affordable. So, it's hard to imagine how you lose your job over that, but if you can scare people effectively at that, you know, this is a government takeover and it'll bust the deficit and all of these this framing that they do, that's just not true. If anybody watched the summit, they would have seen the president and many others tell the Republicans that these claims they were making were simply not true. And they need to stop, but they're not going to. So yes, I think that if you have a population that's vulnerable to these kinds of attacks, it could make a difference in a closer election.
I know that you were a big proponent of the public option. Are you very, very discouraged that what we have now is a far cry from a public option? Are you optimistic about parts of this bill that you think will help people?
Oh, I think there's. I think most of this bill is a huge leap forward for the American people, and it'll put some serious regulations on the practices of the insurance industry to protect people against the kind of harm they experience in getting and losing health insurance. So no, I think the bill is very worthwhile. I am extremely disappointed there is not the option of a public plan for the American people who don't want to buy in the for-profit insurance industry, but it's not going to happen, and I'm firmly convinced of that. Despite sort of the groundswell of support in the Senate, I just don't think they can get enough to include it. It wasn't included in the president's proposal. It will not, I don't think, be included in the proposal that Nancy Pelosi is working on now with her Democratic caucus in the House, and so it's dead for now. There's nothing to say that the idea of the public option, the way the Senate, the way the House, and the way the President originally had talked about it, is that it wouldn't go into effect immediately anyway. So I still think there's an opportunity, should the President be elected, if there's evidence that prices really aren't coming down in the exchanges when there's only these for-profit plans in them, if we accumulate that evidence over time, then I think that makes a very strong case that the only way to force them to be competitive is to put in a public option to compete against them. So I haven't, you know, if Obama has two terms, I think this may still breathe life sometime in the future, but for the time being, it's dead.
Helen Halpin is our guest. We're talking about healthcare reform and the task that Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi has this week to convince Democrats to pass the bill and some changes we may see between the Senate bill and the House bill. We're talking about the summit that took place last week. Our guest, in addition to having read all the bills, watched every single minute of last week's summit. Here's our phone number, 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. 8655. We have one line open if you'd like to join us. Just a reminder, too, that we are in our winter pledge drive, and we'd love to have you make a pledge this hour at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. We do have a dollar-for-dollar match. This is offered by Bill Vanderson and Christina Gerke of New York, of all places. They love Wisconsin Public Radio. Who wouldn't? And so your gift of $50 will turn into $100. You know the story. So it's a good hour to pledge, in addition to pledging your support for these discussions we've had on healthcare. To your calls in a moment on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We go to phone calls now for Helen, and let's start with Whitney from Chippewa Falls. Hello, Whitney. All right. We will go to Scott from La Crosse. Hi, Scott.
Hi there.
Hi, Scott.
As a proud WPR member, I'd like to pray, and might I say, Berkeley native, I'd like to get my question a nice response, because now I've said nice things about both of you. to both of you. Here's my deal, my question. As I understand it, what they would need to do procedurally is for the House to essentially accept the Senate's bill, and then they'd go through the reconciliation process to get it in place. And my question really is, if you're a member of the House of Representatives and somebody like Rahm Emanuel came to you and said, we're going to, you might have problems with some aspects of this, but if we can get it into place, we can tweak it later. In other words, get some framework there, and then we can go back and revisit the issue and make the little adjustments that we need to get things so that they work properly, or that the things that are unacceptable get changed. Is there a history here of that kind of thing, like with Medicare or anything else that has been passed?
Oh, and you better believe that. Yes, and you better believe it goes on all the time. Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid and President Obama and Rahm Emanuel will be working overtime, talking to people, perhaps even making deals with them to get them to vote for this bill. I don't think they're going to let it go down, and they're not going to let it go up to a vote until they're sure they have the votes. That's the whip's job, is to count the votes. And you're absolutely right. First, they need to pass the Senate bill as is, no changes, with the understanding that when that happens, then they can create a budget reconciliation bill. Now, what the budget reconciliation bill can do is do the tweaks that you just were talking about. So the idea would be that then they would immediately, a budget reconciliation bill has to start in the House of Representatives because they have jurisdiction over tax policy. So they would propose a bill that would make the changes, and they have to be budget-related changes. So it's primarily changes to, let's say, the penalties that people have to pay if they don't have insurance, or the increasing the tax subsidies to low-income people, or increasing the fees that we're going to impose on the healthcare industry and pharmaceutical and insurers and medical devices. So they would all be that kind of change. Regulatory changes couldn't be done through that bill. So that would start in the House, it would go to the Senate, and once it passes those, then those changes would be in effect in the Senate bill. And Nancy Pelosi's place in history depends on how effective she will be in doing this. If she can get the 216 votes that she needs to pass the Senate bill, and I don't think she'll have any trouble getting the vote she needs to pass reconciliation, she will go down in history as one of the greatest leaders of the House of Representatives.
Oh, interesting. And what do you think? Can she do it? I think she's a pretty powerful leader.
I think she can do it, and I think with President Obama behind her, and I think he is, I think he hasn't lost a legislative battle yet.
Right.
And although the votes are close, and although he can rarely get Republican votes, the Democrats, you know, when push comes to shove, I think we'll step up and pass this legislation.
You know, it is remarkable to think of how things have changed. I was reading the other day that when Johnson won passage of Medicare, most of the Democratic majority in Congress and half the Republicans backed him. Half the Republicans. What a difference we have now.
Oh, yeah. Well, things are much more polarized than they've ever been.
They sure are.
Yeah.
Helen Halpin is our guest. Again, we are talking about health care, and it may be that within a couple weeks, 6 weeks perhaps, there will be some kind of bill. Helen Halpin is a professor of health policy in the School of Public Health at the University of California, Berkeley, and she was an advisor to then-candidate Obama as he was running for president on health care reform. She has been a public option proponent and continues to be, although she says that's not going to happen in this bill. Well, we've been talking about healthcare now for over a year. We've had healthcare summits. We've looked at healthcare in countries all over the world. We have talked about the federal healthcare system. We have talked about Medicare. You name it. We've really covered this issue. And as we have our Wisconsin Public Radio Winter Membership Drive, I'm here with Rhonda Fanning, and we want to ask for your support. Our goal is to keep bringing you discussions with people like Helen Halpin. She's been a regular guest on our program. She really knows what she's talking about. And we continue these conversations in large part with listener contributions. So your gift of any amount right now, if you can do $120, then you'll help feed people in your area, which is a reason to give $120, and it helps us substantially. We ask you to give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Hi again, Rhonda.
Hi, Kathleen. I'm joining you again with more exciting news.
Exciting news.
That's right. I just want to let everyone know that we did make our dollar-for-dollar match.
Great.
So I want to give a special thank you to everyone who pledged in and doubled their pledge amount, and also to Bill Vanderson and Christina Gerke for matching our pledges this hour. But that doesn't mean that you should stop going to our website at WPR.org or picking up a phone and calling 888-202-2552, because we still need on track. We still need those pledges coming in. I know that we missed one of our goals yesterday, so maybe we can make up some of those phone calls and web pledges today.
Yes, and think of all that we give you every day, whether it's the 3-minute news updates, the 60-minute talk shows. Where else do you get that? 60-minute talk shows. You hear about the topics that affect your life on Wisconsin Public Radio, and this is one that we have paid special attention to for quite some time. It's insightful broadcasting. It takes time, resources, dedicated people, creative people like Rhonda and Chrissy, and it takes listeners like you, your creative people as well, and really smart people. It takes everybody to pay for the quality of the programming that you hear every day. Please give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
There are some listeners that think WPR operates largely with tax dollars. And while that part of that is true, we do get some funding from the federal government and some from the state. But listener contributions represent our single largest source of income. More than a third of it comes from listeners like you.
And you can get the full picture at WPR.org/funding. The fact is that your support is vital to keeping Wisconsin Public Radio on the air. Now that you know, make a pledge of support. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
When we ask for your support, we're speaking to you. Yes, you.
Yes, you. Don't look over your don't look over your shoulder. Don't look at your neighbor or your friend or coworker. You are listening right now. You value this program and you rely on this program being here for you.
And you count on us just like we count on you. Listener support is what makes this program possible. You're a listener, so pledge right now online at WPR.org or toll-free 888-202-2552, and your pledge in any amount makes a difference.
Yes, it sure does. And thank you, Rhonda, very much for being
with us.
Yeah, and thanks for all of the work that you do. She's just a top-notch producer and has done a whale of a job giving us healthcare reform like no other radio station has. It's really been extraordinarily valuable information. And we continue. Helen Halpin. Scott, thank you so much for your call. Forgot to thank you. We're talking about what now with healthcare reform, responding to the president's summit and the work of Nancy Pelosi, which continues right now. And she has a big job ahead of her. As Helen said, if she's able to achieve the goal of health care reform, she will be considered one of the great leaders of all time. Let's go back to phone calls. Wayne from Holman is next. Hello, Wayne.
How are you doing, Kathleen?
All right. How are you?
Well, I am a staunch Christian conservative Republican who's a proud supporter of WPR.
Thanks, Wayne.
And, you know, there aren't a whole lot of us on WPR, but we're here. A couple of comments. CNN recently had a poll out. In fact, they released it Thursday, and it showed in their polling data, and CNN is no right-wing organization by any stretch of the imagination, that 25% of those polled strongly support this legislation, 25% strongly oppose it, and 45% polled say, let's start over. And so I listened to some of that, of the summit, and I was particularly impressed with Paul Ryan, our congressman, who I think's been on WPR a couple times, Kathleen.
Yes, he has.
And he's a really a sharp guy. And his commentary, I thought, was well put. I don't think that President Obama, and he's my president, and I don't think he or Harry Reid or the House Speaker, Nancy Pelosi, are really listening to some of us folks, and maybe that's okay. But John Sharpless put it so well Friday when he was on the Joy Cardine show at 8, where you have a give and take. And he said, they're going to ram this down our throat whether we like it or not. So I don't agree with Helen and her commentary, but I respect her very much. She's obviously very knowledgeable. But with this many people opposed to this legislation and basically how it's been, there hasn't been any transparency to speak of, don't you think it would be better if we did maybe what a few Republicans suggest? Let's look at it again and come up with something. We're dealing with one-sixth of the American economy. This has got to be done carefully. I take my comments off the air.
All right, Wayne. Yeah, thanks for calling.
Well, I think a call to start over is a call to do nothing, unfortunately. The president has spent a year of his political capital on this. There are other very pressing issues that we need to deal with. The reality is that we've come further in enacting comprehensive health care legislation this year than we ever have in the history of our country. We actually have a House of Representatives that has passed a comprehensive bill, and we have a Senate that has passed a comprehensive bill. And the challenge now is just to reconcile them. So for the Democrats to start over would be literally for them to commit political suicide at this point. We are that close. And this was the president's, one of his top priorities, his top priority on his domestic agenda when he campaigned. So I think calls to start over are just unrealistic. And I think to do nothing, as I hope the president made clear in the summit, will hurt all of us. It will hurt business. It will hurt individuals. And our healthcare system is hopelessly broken, and we can't do nothing. I think that if the American people understood what was in this bill, their response to an opinion poll would be very different. And fortunately, we don't govern based on polls. We govern based on votes. And if this individual is correct, that the American people don't want this bill, and the Congress goes ahead and finishes the job and tweaks it so they can the president can sign it, then the voters can make their views known in the polls in the midterm elections, and we'll see what happens. I think, as Kathleen mentioned, this takes courage for a lot of these members. They don't know whether or not or how much this might affect them in the midterm elections. But you know, the majority of them in both houses have already voted yes. And I think to be labeled a flip-flopper at this point is even more politically damaged than going ahead and standing up for what you said you believed and give the American people what they so desperately need, which is an insurance industry that's regulated, which are premiums that are affordable, and access to everyone. The Democratic bill will increase coverage to 30 million people who are desperate right now for access to health care, and to millions more who have really lousy insurance that can be dropped at a moment's notice. And I really think it's irresponsible to have come this far and not go any further. So that's where I stand.
And those are the two things that I would think most people would say they wholeheartedly agree with, that people need to have health care reform and nobody should be dropped because they were sick.
Yeah. And I think if you poll on those questions, you get affirmative answers.
Right. Let's go to Diane from Eau Claire. Hi, Diane.
Hi.
Hi.
I wanted to talk about the Nebraska exemption and also the Louisiana Purchase and the three counties in southern Florida that are going to be getting like triple the Medicare reimbursement. I know there's been a lot of coverage of the Nebraska exemption, but the other two issues haven't been in the press very much.
Well, the Nebraska exception is moot now. And if you go to whitehouse.gov and read the president's proposal, you'll see that that they have extended that to all states, so that when this law goes into effect and states are required to extend Medicaid to all persons, regardless if you're married or have children or what gender you are, under 100% of the federal poverty level, the federal government for the first several years will cover 100% of that cost. so that will cost the states nothing now. No state, not just Nebraska, but no state will have to pay any more for that. And that goes down to a permanent federal contribution of 90% in 2020. So the president, understood that just simply wasn't fair, and that has been changed, and that benefit has been extended to all states. As far as the Medicare Advantage plans, my understanding of that arrangement, and I also agree that it's not fair, but I don't think it'll honestly make that much difference, is that right now HMOs that are participating in the Medicare program are getting 14% more in premiums from the federal government and from individuals than they are spending. So basically, HMOs under Medicare right now are making a 14% profit off that program, which, believe me, is a lot more profit than the private insurance industry is making off of its premiums. So this has been a cost boon in terms of reimbursement and for these Medicare plans. They have been profiting enormously. So needless to say, they don't want to lose this. This is the $500 billion, whatever, cut that they're talking about, is primarily getting rid of this profit to Medicare HMOs. And so the benefits to the individual won't change at all. The benefit package will be the same as it is right now. The cost sharing will be the same as it is right now. As far as the beneficiary is concerned, it shouldn't affect them at all. The law in terms of what those plans have to offer to them doesn't change. What changes is they no longer make a profit. Now, it may be when they no longer make a profit that they decide they don't want to participate in the Medicare program anymore. So it's possible that the HMOs could decide, well, if we can't make money off this, we're not going to offer it anymore. And the 20% of the Medicare population who is in those plans would have to go back to being in regular Medicare. 80% of Medicare beneficiaries choose not to go into those plans. They prefer the fee-for-service traditional Medicare program. So the worst thing that could happen is that people would have to go back into the regular Medicare program. And that, as I said, that affects only about 20%. Now, the deal cut in Florida is that they wouldn't cut that 14% profit out of those HMOs that are selling in Florida.
Can you talk a little bit, because you're speaking to us from Berkeley, this Anthem Blue Cross of California 39% health insurance rate increase? It's incredible. What's the response to that?
Well, it's outrage, and they've backed off of that for the moment. They have a 7% profit target, and that's how they're going to meet it. What's beginning to happen in the individual market, and this is the market where these increases are being seen. And fortunately, only about 5% or so of the American public purchases insurance in the individual private health insurance market. But for those people, it keeps getting more and more expensive. But what happens is, as it gets more expensive, the people who are healthier, who are willing to take a risk and say, well, I just can't afford this anymore, I'm going to go without coverage, drop out. And the people who stay in are the people who desperately need coverage. So that the pool of people that remains insured in this market is getting sicker and sicker and sicker, which means their costs are going up and up and up. And it's what's called the death spiral in health insurance. And the higher the prices go up, the more the healthy go out, and that leaves this sick pool, and the premiums just keep going up. And so in order for them to keep, the costs keep going up, and the premiums keep going up. In order for the insurance companies to make a profit, then they need to increase those premiums even more. Mm-hmm. And that's what's happened here in California with Anthem Blue Cross. It's happened in a number of other states. It is the beginning of the end of the individual market, honestly, because it's simply not sustainable. And the pool of people who are desperate enough to want to keep their health insurance and can afford it are sick and very high cost and make it impossible for the average person to afford coverage in that pool.
Helen Halpin is our guest, and we're talking about the latest in health care reform this hour of the program. More calls momentarily at 800-486-8655. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Returning phone calls for Helen, we go to Nicholas from Waukesha. Hi, Nicholas.
Hi, hello.
Hi.
A wonderful information on a very complex subject. I just want to mention this, that it is said that there's an abortion portion of this health plan. I am pro-life, but could the kind lady explain the abortion aspects of the program?
The Senate bill and the president's proposal would restrict federal funding for abortion. It's very clearly in this bill. It says no federal funds may be used to cover or finance abortions. And the solution that they have come up with is, as far as the people who are pro-choice are concerned, is very, very undesirable. And ironically, it also seems to be undesirable to those who are pro-life. So I think maybe we've actually found the solution if both sides don't like it. But what it says is that if you want, that plans can sell coverage for abortion services in these exchanges, but you have to pay a separate premium for it. It will not be covered under your basic benefits, and that premium you will have to pay for entirely out of your pocket. So it guarantees that no federal money or anyone who's getting federal subsidies will be able to use those funds to pay for abortion coverage, and it literally segregates abortion coverage from all other benefits and requires that those who want it pay for it with their own dollars as a separate rider, in effect, to their policy.
Thanks so much for the call. Dave from Marinette, hi.
Yeah, how you doing?
All right, Dave, how are you?
Good. Very interesting show today. I got a question. I just come out of an insurance meeting here a week ago, and my rates are going to jump up 35% starting in May. We're insured by the United States, the largest small company insurer in the United States that insures over 70 million people. We're under 100 people in our plant, and we had a couple of severe cases, one with cancer and one with heart disease. We've asked for quotes from Blue Cross Blue Shield, Humana, different ones that refuse to even give us a quote.
Yeah.
And it's going to come May 1st. It's going to cost me 1 week's pay per month just for insurance.
Mm.
Now, what I'm thinking is, what are the people in Washington and our Congress and Senate doing? I mean, do they think everybody makes a six-figure salary a year? Majority of people make under $50,000 a year. And
They understand that, sir,
right,
and this bill would help you and your company. This bill would be a huge boon to you and your company. All of the employees in your company could immediately go into the exchange. You'd have a wide range of choice of health plans in that exchange, and your premium would be based on your income. If you earned less than 400% of the federal poverty level, which I believe for a family is something like $70,000, you'll be eligible for subsidies that'll help pay the cost of your premium, and under no circumstance would you have to pay more than 2.5% of your income on premium. So this bill would, for all small businesses, be just a life ring for your company not to have to pay for those exorbitant premiums, because I'm sure they're helping to subsidize, and you wouldn't have to pay for them either. You'd be in a pool with millions of other people and get a comprehensive plan with good benefits and subsidies to help you afford the premium.
How common is his story, Helen?
Oh, it's so common. I mean, that's why these exchanges are being set up, because people who are in the individual market, which I just talked about, which is a disaster, as well as small employers, they're in the same situation. You have one person as this gentleman just told us, who's sick in your company, and your rates go through the roof. And at some point, the company either has to decide we can't offer coverage anymore, or they have to increase the share that the employer is contributing, employees contributing to the premium. This is the same story for millions of people and millions of businesses all over this country, which is why I feel so passionately about the need to pass this legislation, because individuals like this gentleman and some of the previous callers will not see relief. In fact, the situation will only continue to get worse and worse and worse. It's hard to imagine, but it will get worse. It could potentially, your premiums could potentially be your entire income at the rate we're going. And we have got to do something about it, and this bill will help solve not the whole problem, but a significant part, and give people peace of mind knowing that they have coverage that can't be taken away, that they can afford, that will cover them for the services they need when they're sick.
Helen, thank you, as always, for all of your knowledge. You're really good. Thanks.
Thank you.
Helen Halpin, our guest, she's been with us many times. She really has such complete knowledge, not only of the history of this issue, but she's read all of the bills, and there have been many of them since this discussion started, some could say 50 years ago, but certainly this particular bill started a year ago. She's in the School of Public Health at the University of California, Berkeley. This is the Wisconsin Public Radio Winter Membership Drive. I'm Kathleen Dunn. Rhonda Fanning is joining me in the studio, producer of this program. And you know that you get a lot out of Wisconsin Public Radio no matter where you listen. Think of all we learned just in the last hour. Today we're asking you to put something back in, and that is money. At Wisconsin Public Radio, we count on listener contributions not only to add to the conversation, but to pay for just about everything we do. So your gift now keeps the programs that you value, including this one, on the air. Make your contribution now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Hi, Rhonda.
Hi, Kathleen. All it takes is a gift of a dollar or two, a week, and a few minutes of your time. Giving at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And I just want to take a chance or a moment here to thank a couple of people who have called in this hour, Richard and Jane from Petonica, Illinois. Do you know where that is?
I don't know where that is. I'm from Illinois, too. Somebody let us know.
Well, Richard and Jane say this is the best source of quality news and information programming of any station that we have encountered throughout the U.S. She tells her son in Colorado how much better Wisconsin Public Radio programming is and how privileged we are to be able to access it. In Britta and Shorewood, I listen to WPR all day while I travel around southeast Wisconsin for work. I love the variety of topics and differing viewpoints. I frequently find myself sharing what I've learned from a WPR show with others. How many of us do that? You make my days so more informative and enjoyable. Thank you. So people from all over the state, Illinois, calling in and pledging. So go online, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You've been enjoying the conversation with Helen Halpin, certainly incredibly knowledgeable about healthcare reform in this country. Take a few minutes to make this hour and many hours to come possible. We're not done with the healthcare reform debate yet, and you can rest assured that we'll be on top of it. Put a value on the programming that you enjoy every day, and then make your pledge at WPR.org, or you can also call 888-202-2552. And I like this idea, too, of asking when you call in to pledge that you want to contribute to the food program as well, because you can feed 40 people. It's a wonderful thing to contribute to us and then to feed people as well, particularly when we're hearing stories about whether or not people can take care of their health care or whether or not they can eat. There are a lot of people who are in that situation. And that's for a pledge of what, Rhonda?
$120, Kathleen?
Okay, great. Good. So call and say that you would like that, too. It's a good program.
Or go online at WPR.org. All it takes is a gift of a dollar or two a week and a few minutes of your time. Again, that website is WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Mm-hmm. People say that Wisconsin Public Radio is too liberal, but I actually changed my opinion because of something I heard on public radio and understood it better. And I felt like it was a very well-reasoned person that was talking about it. So I changed my opinion and went probably more conservative because of listening to public radio. I'm Katie Simonson from Burlington. Wisconsin Public Radio is my source for news and information.
And here's the number for you to call to pledge. The number is 888-202-2552 or WPR.org. Maybe your pledge is $50 or $100 or $500. Whatever amount is the right amount for you at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And I brought in a couple of comments from some listeners from our past healthcare shows, Kathleen. This one states, I really appreciate your recent focus on healthcare issues. I think looking at how other countries do healthcare has been really helpful for me. It's an issue that deeply interests me and one that I think is of crucial importance to our country, both economically and morally. Thank you, and keep on keeping on.
All right.
But we need to keep on keeping on those pledges this hour, so please go online at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Have you ever heard something on Wisconsin Public Radio that you wanted to pass on to a friend? With program notes on the website, with audio archives, with our Facebook page. We're on Facebook now. I'm so proud of that because I've been so behind the times. That's the Kathleen Dunn Show at Facebook.
You're catching up.
Yeah, we are. You can pass things on, and maybe you already do.
That's right. It's a great way to stay connected with others by passing on ideas, stories, information. Listeners get to talk to each other. We get to talk to listeners. A lot of our programs that we have here are listener suggested. I don't know how many great guests I've found that listeners have suggested. So
yes.
Keep those calls coming and go online at WPR.org.
Thanks, Rhonda. Thanks for all of your wonderful work. And thanks to Rhonda for producing this hour that you just heard on healthcare reform. Thanks to Connor O'Brien for on-air production here in our studios and for John Munson, who's helped us with Pledge, who's come all the way from Superior. We'll talk about healthcare again. We have news coming up, and we'll return for another hour here on the Ideas Network.